Three texts for today. The first from Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved over the waters, and the Lord said, "Let there be light." From John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And finally, Jesus' words recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 14. These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Three texts, because as it happens, today is Trinity Sunday. It is the last Sunday in a sequence of Sundays that I would refer to as sort of the liturgical half of the church year. The church year begins on the first Sunday in Advent, and so we have four Sundays in Advent: Christmas, the Epiphany season in Lent, and the Easter season, and the Sundays thereafter, Pentecost, and today, Trinity Sunday. This then gives way to 26 more Sundays of what are called ordinary time, time for ministry, as though that was as ordinary as living, working, and breathing. 26 Sundays from today will be the first Sunday in Advent. But today wraps up what we need to know to be about the business of ministry. It's almost like getting a research report. Here is the evidence for what and who God is and what God wants us to do. Trinity Sunday. I'm in the business of providing research reports, answering questions that people have about, well, in my view, in my field anyway, about life together. That's what we study, is we study the social world. The best of the kind of research that we do involves a style of method referred to as triangulation. There isn't just one way of gathering data and making of that data insight about people. The most common way that we gather data and draw insight about people and groups is by distributing questionnaires and getting short answers to fixed questions. Would you say your religious faith is very strong, moderately strong, neither strong nor weak, moderately weak, non-existent? Bubble it in on a computer scantron. Short answers to fixed questions. We also, when we want a little more depth of insight, we may sit down and conduct interviews and have a conversation, the direction of which can go any number of ways depending on what the respondent has to share in the way of insight. And to get even more depth, we might involve ourselves in what's called participant observation research. Become a part of a group you want to learn more about, and then live with, interact with, observe, but also participate. Well, as it turns out, triangulation and three ways of addressing the same types of questions and making reports overlays nicely the concept of the Trinity. God, in effect, has triangulated his revelation through Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I think we probably get the greatest array of information, the greatest spread of data about what God is about and who God is, from the majesty of God's creation. God said, "Let there be light." And every morning, the light shows up again in a sunrise. It comes up over, if you live in post-Texas, it comes up over the horizon and shines on the canyon and creates wonderful shadows and great beauty. The Grand Canyon does not disappoint. Neither does Yellowstone, El Capitan at Yosemite, Stonehenge, and other almost unimaginably complex revelations of God's creative activity. Pay a little closer attention, you get the food chain and the cycle of nutrition and nourishment that God has wired into what the earth produces for us. In every cell of your body, there's something called the Krebs cycle, which, again, keeps us alive. I was awestruck as a child when I learned that the structure of the universe, planets revolving around stars and so on, looked just like the structure of the atom. The largest thing we could imagine and the smallest thing we could imagine look exactly the same. That cannot have been by accident. This wide array of evidence, data points, reveal to us the majesty and mystery of God the Father, the Creator. But that's not all. God the Father, the Creator, put us at the crown of God's creation. We were the last things created. And I don't know if it was an afterthought or if it was an experiment. He seems to have done what I wonder if he ever thought was a mistake, and that is drop free will into our consciousness. Because one of the first things human beings did was exercise their free will to do exactly what God told them not to do, the consequences of which have been incalculable. God tried to draw us back, to coerce us to obeying him. Floods, plagues, pestilence, warfare, until roughly 2,000 years after the Garden of Eden, he decided to definitively do something different and said, the only way I'm going to draw them closer to me is become closer to them. And God the Son was born, limited in human form, and yet able and available to show us something else about the mystery and majesty of God, to show us in a series of interviews, if you will, for 3 years, what God could learn about us by being human with us, but also what we could learn about God by interacting with God's human form. And if we can learn on a day-by-day basis a thousand different ways something of the majesty of God's creation, we learn from Jesus the possibility for human intimacy. For he became one with us and showed us how to emotionally connect with other people. Jesus spent a good deal of his life connecting emotionally with his family, with his brothers, we believe, certainly with his disciples, very close friends. Jesus experienced the full spectrum of love and loss. He wept at the death of Lazarus, to whom he had become especially close in friendship. And it is through the person of Jesus that we have been enabled, I think, and then also been enabled to figure out the touch of God in human emotional connection. We know some people deeply, intimately, and emotionally. That, I believe, is what God intends. We know the power of human connection in ideology, but also the almost electric and also peacefully comforting power of human touch. No one forgets the moment they first held a baby for the first time, especially if it's their son or daughter. The almost unimaginable, potentially electric intimacy of being taken by the hand in seventh grade by someone you might find interesting. When two become a couple at a wedding, they hold hands and look each other square in the eye and promise to be one for the other till death parts them. Hands are held in prayer. Hands are held at hospital beds. Jesus touched those he healed. He forced Thomas to touch his own hand to get the reality of his resurrection. The intimate emotional connection with human contact. I lost a friend this week. I didn't imagine it was going to happen this week. He was 90, so it was going to happen sooner than later. But he had a stroke on Sunday, and it became clear by Tuesday or Wednesday that he would not come out of it. And if by some miracle he did, he would have wished he hadn't. And so in this transition from life to life eternal, if you will, he was in this twilight zone for a few days. And while that was happening, I watched his wife of 50-plus years, who couldn't have imagined a week and a half ago what it would be like without him, but then decided she needed to be without him for his sake, that kind of selfless understanding of who they were together, I think became most poignantly obvious when she simply held his hand. He had reached up for some reason, cognitive or reflex, and she simply took his hand and held it there for a while. And he was able to reflex it a little bit, but I understood that what she was telling him was that it's okay. As much as this hurts, it's right. That is only possible for human beings because we have known Jesus and Jesus has known us. The mystery and majesty of God's creation, the intimacy of human relationships. And finally, I think the counselor, the comforter that Jesus promised he would send. This sort of nebulous, if you will, but at least promised, never failing spiritual power to which we somehow have access. I think we have evidence for that too. If we have evidence for the creation at the Cap Rock, if we have evidence for intimacy in the holding of hands, we have evidence for the Spirit in the resiliency of humankind. The creation sometimes goes haywire. Floods, earthquakes, other forms of natural and even otherwise disasters. And even people who study in my discipline are able to demonstrate through research that in the aftermath of floods and earthquakes and other such things, people become more cooperative, crime rates go down. We circle the wagons, and we become more resilient together than anyone could be individually. They're learning that again, and we're bearing witness to that in Wimberley, Texas today. And it is not a new story. It happens every single time. That is the evidence, in my view, of the power of God the Holy Spirit to produce resilience collectively. But I think if you stopped and looked back on your own life, you would see points at which, points of transition perhaps, where if someone had told you 2 months ago that you would experience what you've been through in the last 2 months, you would say at the outset, I can't do that, I'll never get through it. And yet here you are, in retrospect, resilient. There's this remarkable and often unspoken ability for us to get through, to learn to grow and thrive. I don't know anybody that wouldn't say, you know, I had no idea that that phone call or that turn of events or that chance meeting I had no idea it would change my life in the way that it has. I think that is the evidence for the never failing presence of a resilient Holy Spirit that inspires even of a flash of insight. You know, maybe I'll do this today. Maybe I will pursue that relationship. Maybe I'll pursue learning more about God's world. The majesty of God's creation, the Father. The mystery and intimacy of human interaction, the Son. And the resiliency of the Spirit that never fails us and that, in effect, sends us forth to be instruments of His peace. It all comes together in the Trinity. We understand it through a triangulation of exploration of the evidence. Trinity, triangulation, ministry. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. Now go do it. Amen.